Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Vayishlach, we have six Divrei Torah. We are going to start at the way beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu, starting to prepare for his encounter with his dear or not so dear brother, Esav. And he sends messengers, and the message that he tells them to deliver to his brother is as follows, the second Pasuk of the Parsha. Im Lavan garti va'echar arata, I have been living with my father-in-law, Lavan, and I tarried until now, etc., etc. And Rashi brings the famous Medrash. What is that? Garti, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. Garti is the same language, the same letters, in fact, gematria, and the same letters as taryag. Garti, taryag. And the message is as follows, that I kept the taryag mitzvahs while I was with Lavan, even despite the negative environment that he had, the lack of spirituality, the converse of spirituality, I was able to keep the Taryag mitzvahs, and I did not even learn from his nefarious ways. And there are different explanations what this message is, and we're going to take one very powerful one from Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin. He actually tells as follows, that maybe the message here is not so much to Esav, but to Yaakov Avinu is also giving himself a message. And he says as follows, I kept the Taryag mitzvahs that entire time that I was with Lavan, which is a wonderful thing. You're with the Russia, we say, Oy la Russia, Oy la Shechenav, you're with the Russia, you can have a negative impact on you, but despite that, I maintain the Taryag mitzvahs, but there's one thing that I failed in. And the failure was that I did not learn from his evil deeds. How can that possibly be a failure? So Rav Meir Shapiro explains as follows, that I should have learned from Lavan that when he was doing evil things, evil acts, he did it with Mesiris Nefesh. He did it with alacrity. When he did what he believed in, although he believed in the wrong things, but he was committed. He was all in. And Yaakov Avinu is saying, I kept Taryag, but I should have learned from him that when I do what I'm committed to, which is the Taryag, I should have been 100% all in as well, doing it with tremendous, tremendous effort, tremendous Mesiris Nefesh, despite the adversity. And obviously, that's an important lesson. As we go through life, we shouldn't only be keeping the Taryag mitzvahs, but we need to do it with alacrity and love as well, just like we see people out there doing things that they shouldn't be doing it, but they're running after it. If it's running after money, running after X, Y, and Z, we should be running after mitzvahs in the same way. We are now moving forward to the second Dvar Torah. Yaakov Avinu hears from the messengers that Esav is approaching with an entire military. He's got an army that he's coming with, 400 people armed, ready to wage war. Yaakov is ill prepared for that. Actually, he davens. What could be better than davening? And also, he had prepared the Doron. He's going to send the gifts to Esav. And the Pasuk says as follows. We're now in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Ches, Vayira Yaakov Me'od Vayetzer Lo. So it says two emotions. Number one is Vayira, which is frightened. Yira. He's panicked. He's frightened here. And also, Vayetzer Lo from the word tsar. He was distressed. He had a lot of distress knowing that Esav is coming to attack him and his entire family there. So the question is, and the Malei HaMaor talks about this, is well, what's he so concerned about? He's concerned, in fact, that maybe there was criticism against him, that maybe, in fact, he had committed two serious sins. And if that's the case, that he had committed some serious sins, maybe he didn't have the schuyos, maybe he didn't have the merit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would protect him. And the two sins that he's concerned about actually have hints, remazim, in this pasuk. And the first one goes as follows. Yaakov Avinu was concerned that he did not properly fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbud Avem. He's been away from his parents. He didn't have any Kibbud Avem at that time. He wasn't able to if he was such a distance away. And in fact, the remez that we have is from the word Vayira, the very first word that he was frightened. What was he frightened about? That he didn't mimikayim the mitzvah of Kibbud. There's a Kibbud Avem and there's Yiras Avem, that you should be in awe and fear of your parents. And in fact, the same language that we see here, Vayira, he was frightened, is in the Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yotet, Pasuk Gimel, Ish Imo Ve'aviv Tirau, that man has to fear his mother and his father. Tirau is frightened, fear. And accordingly, we have a remez here when it says in our pasuk vayira Yaakov meod that he was frightened. We have a remez here that he was frightened. Number one, about his not having been mekayim the mitzvah of ish imo va'iviv tira'u, having the requisite yira kibud and yira of his parents. And the second sin that he was concerned about has a remez in the second emotion that is discussed in our pasuk vayira Yaakov meod vayetzer lo, he was distressed. That word vayetzer, distressed, there's actually another halacha he was concerned that he had violated. He had married two sisters, and the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to marry two sisters. The pasuk in vayikra, it's perak yudches, pasuk yudches says, the isha el achosa lo tikach litzror, you're not allowed to marry two sisters, that they shall be litzror, is rivals. And that's the same root of the word that we're saying, distress, that they will cause each other distress. If you marry two sisters, don't marry two sisters. And here we have Yaakov Avinu, who had married two sisters. And accordingly, let's reread our pasuk as follows. Vayira, Yaakov had fear that he had not been mekayim properly the mitzvah of kibud and yira of his parents, as it says in the pasuk, ish imo v'aviv tira'u. And in addition, he had fear, v'yetzer, he had distress that he had married two sisters. And the pasuk says, v'isha l'achata lo tikach litzror, don't marry two sisters, they will be rivals. Those are the two concerns that Yaakov had, both of them hinted to in our pasuk. And accordingly, the Male HaOmer says as follows, that the act that Yaakov Avinu engaged in order to at least have some protection was that he divided up his machane, he divided up his camp, he put Leah together with all of her children, and secondly, he put Rachel together with all of her children in that camp, two separate camps. And the rationale here is that the real chait of marrying two sisters is when you marry the second one, and that would have been Rachel, and accordingly, she was the one who was taken be'isser, because she was the second one, not Leah. Leah was innocent when it came to that, and accordingly, he was rationalizing that, if anything, Rachel would be the responsible party. He divided up the two camps. She would be the one that would unfortunately be more at risk when it came to the attack to Esav, and Leah less so. And that's why, in order to somewhat protect, because of the second sin that he was concerned about, having married two sisters, that's why he divided up the camps by the two of them, one by Rachel, one by Leah. Why should Leah have to suffer for the sin of Rachel? And accordingly, he divided them up. We are now moving forward to our third Dvar Torah. And at that point, it's the famous pasuk that Yaakov Avinu crossed the river. He went to get the Chazal tell us, the Pachim Ketanim. He forgot something small over there. And in pasuk Lamed Beis, pasuk Chafei, it says as follows: Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov was left alone by himself. Vayavek Ish Imo, and there was a man who wrestled with him. The man was the Sar of Esav, the Yetzer Hara, and they wrestled all night long. And there's a very fascinating Gemara in Chulin that says as follows: what did that Ish, that Tsar, that representative, that official, that Malach, that angel of Esav, how did he look to Yaakov? And the Gemara tells us as follows: Chad Amar Ke'akum Nidmelo, that he looked like an Ovid of Odazar, he looked like an idolater. He looked like a Tsar of Esav, somebody who would represent Esav. And on the other hand, and this is the surprising view, the second view is that he appeared to Yaakov as a Talmid Chacham. How is that possible? So the Avnei Nezer explains as follows. What do we have? These two views, and they're both represented by the Yetzer Hara. Both were the evil angel of Esau. Simply one looked like an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, one who looked like an idolater, and one looked like a Talmud Chacham. So the Avnei Nezer explains it as follows, that there are two types of Yetzer Hara. The first type of the Yetzer Hara is the classic Yetzer Hara that tries to entice us, to seduce us, to do bad when we know it's bad. And we know what we're doing, but he says, do it anyway. It's worthwhile to do it. You'll enjoy it. If it could be something as simple as you had flesh and it's there's pizza there and you're chalashing to have that pizza, or there's ice cream there and you're chalashing, okay, it's an hour earlier, what's the big deal? And everyone's going to finish that pizza or that ice cream in time. If you don't take it now, you're going to miss the opportunity. Or it could be that there are There's some money sitting there, and you know it's somebody's, but it's a $100 bill, or using something at work that you shouldn't be using, sending out a FedEx, and you don't have permission to send FedEx on the company. It can be many things, and this is the one visage of the Tsar of Esav, that he looks like an Akum, he looks like an idolater, and he comes straight at you. And he says, I know it's prohibited, and you know it's prohibited, but do it nonetheless. That is the Yetzer Hara, that's the Tsar of Esav that looks to us, that looks to Yaakov like an Akum, like an idolater, trying to convince him to do what's wrong, even when you know it's wrong. And the other type of the Yetzer Hara is when the Yetzer Hara dresses itself up and makes it look like a Talmud Chacham. And he tries to tell you, really, this is a mitzvah to do this. Don't think it's an Avera. This thing, you think it's an Avera, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to take the money because he can give Meiser from it. It's the right thing to do X, Y, and Z. And so many times the Yetzer Hara looks and works on it in that way. Not that it's telling us, do this Avera, but this Avera, it's really not an Avera. It's the right thing to do. And that's when the Yetzer Hara dresses itself up as a Talmud Chacham, and it appears to us a Talmud Chacham, convincing us this is the right thing to do. And accordingly, we now understand how Yaakov Avinu, when he's looking at this Tsar, Chazal tell us in that Gemara, that one view is that the Tsar Shel Esav appeared to him as an Akum, appeared to him as an idolater. But on the other hand, the other view is that it appeared to him as a Talmud Chacham. But either way, it's trying to convince Yaakov to do something wrong. These are the two forms of the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes at us directly. Do it anyway. You know what's wrong. But sometimes it comes from the back and tries to convince us that indeed it's a mitzvah, but in fact, it really is not. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalid. In the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, Esav is appeased. He comes with his 400 strong army ready to go to war, and he sees Yaakov Avinu, and he has mercy. And it says that Esav embraced him, and also he gave him a kiss, v'yinashkehu. And what's very interesting is on that word, v'yinashkehu, that he kissed him, there are a number of dots on the top. And Rashi brings the drush of Chazal and the Medrash that he really, when Esav was kissing Yaakov, it wasn't with a full heart. He really didn't have the full positive emotions that were evidence, or what could have been evidenced by the hugging and kissing. In fact, he wasn't fully in love with his brother at that time still. And in fact, the language of Rashi is as follows. Amar Rabbi Shimon, what do we see from this? Halachahi. This is a halacha biyadua. She'esav sone liyakov. It's a halacha. That's the law. The law is that Esav hates Yaakov. What does that mean? That it's the law. That's what it is. That's the halacha. So the Gaon, Rabbi Menachem Zemba, explains as follows. What's this concept of halacha? So he says that people oftentimes try to search for the reason why is there anti-Semitism. And this is really a global issue. It's come out even more so in the past year or so. And unfortunately, if you look throughout the world, it's not limited to certain geographies. It's not limited to certain types of people. It is something that is endemic to the world. It's a pandemic of anti-Semitism. And sometimes it's more latent and quiet, and sometimes it's more obvious. And in public right now, unfortunately, it's more public. And people think, what is it that the Jews cause, or what is the reason for this? Is it jealousy? Is it this? Is it that? Is it because some people don't behave of Klal Yisrael properly? Is it because we're too real liberal? It's because we're too conservative? What's the reason? What's the basis and the motivation for this widespread anti-Semitism throughout the world? And what's very interesting that Rav Zemba explains is, if you look, what are they complaining about? So some people are complaining that the Jews are too capitalistic. They control the banks. They control the economy. And other people make the claim the Jews are too socialist. Then they have these socialist approaches to things, and they're not capitalistic enough. On the other hand, there's some people that say that the Jews have too much alacrity. They're too smart. They work too hard. They're too focused. But others make the claim that they're lazy, and they live off the economy, and they really are like catfish. So that's again conflicting views of what the Jews are. And we have people who say that they're too observant and they're too into their religion and they live by themselves and they don't integrate into society. And there are others that have the view that the Jews are too secular and we don't like that about them and their views are just too liberal. And we have these claims against the Jews that are internally conflicting. So it can't be that we are too capitalistic or too socialistic, or it's that we're too effective or not effective enough, or we're too much or too this, because whatever it is, there's a claim against the Jews, even when they conflict. Accordingly, Rashi is bringing the Chazal to tell us, Amar Rabbi Shimon, it's a halacha. The Sina, the hatred of Esav to Yaakov, is not something that has a reason for it. It is not something that we can analyze and say it's X, Y, and Z and put our finger on it. It will exist independent of how we act and what we do, because whatever we do, there's going to be criticisms, there are going to be claims against Klal Yisrael. Now we can understand Amar Rabbi Shimon halacha hi. This is halacha. This is how it is. This is how it always has been. This is how it will be. Biyadua Esav son Yaakov, Esav hates Yaakov. That doesn't mean that we don't always have to act properly and make a Kiddush Hashem. Obviously, we have that absolute obligation all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to absolutely be representing who we are and representing our religion and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah properly. But we still should know that, unfortunately, there is going to be anti-Semitism out there. We can do the best we can, but we will never be able to get rid of it fully. We are now moving forward to number 5. We had the meeting between Yaakov and Esav, and Esav sees the children of Yaakov, his wives, his children. And now they're ready to depart, and Esav says, let me accompany you, let me take you. We'll travel together, and Yaakov wants to avoid that. Let me get away from this Rasha. And we're in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Vayomer Nisav and Eilecha, let's go together, Esav says, I'll travel with you. And Yaakov says, Vayomer Eilav Aduni Yodea, you know, that Hayiladim Rakim, they are soft, they could get damaged if we go too quickly, they're not going to be able to keep it up, they're not going to be able to travel at the necessary speed. So what's going on underneath this conversation here? So say Esav is thinking, I'm going to accompany them. I want to have a relationship with them. I want to have yedidus with them. Let's go together. Let's have a relationship. Let's become friends. We're family. Family is not enough. Let's become really close together. And here, Yaakov Avinu is thinking to be close to a Rasha. There's nothing worse. And he's thinking to himself, or even he's saying this, if it were only me, that would be one thing. It could be, Chazal tell us, you have to be careful of the Rasha. Don't have him as a neighbor. Don't hang out with him. And he's going to influence you. But maybe I could withstand that, says Yaakov Avinu. I'm strong. I'm more adept to dealing with people of this nature and ilk. I just came from Lavan. But my true concern is, Andoni Yodea Ki Yeladim Rakim, the children, they're soft. In other words, they're impressionable. And I may be able to fend off the influences that you would have on me. But people who are less built, they are less developed in who they are and their opinions, and who they are and their self-confidence, they can be really negatively impacted by being around somebody like an Esav. In fact, the Rambam talks about this in Hilchot Deos. He says that anyone could be negatively impacted. Yaakov Avinu, hopefully not. He's saying maybe me, not. But certainly the children, they would be open to be negatively impacted in their ruchnias and their emotional health and the like. And accordingly, that's why Yaakov Avinu says, you go ahead. No, thank you. We'll go at our own speed. And we learn from this in a Koran lesson that proximity, relationships with people who are negative, rishayim, the Esavs of the world, that is unfortunately what drags us down. And we see with the assimilation rate and the intermarriage rate that that's what's happening when we integrate too much into the secular society. That's what it is. Hayiladim Rakim. It's not only talking about children, but most of us, everyone nowadays may have that status of a yelet who is rach, who is too soft to be too integrated. Obviously, we are integrated into secular society somewhat, but we need to put limitations on that because the impressions that we get and the impact and the influences can be very negative. We are now moving forward to number 6. We are on the Pasuk Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. After they depart, Esav goes his way. Yaakov goes his way. And Yaakov now says, it says, Vayav Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. He comes to Shechem and he is Shalem. He is pure, he is full. Some of the Mefarshim explain that that means that he actually had a refuah shalema from his limp from that fight that he had overnight with the Sar Shal Esav. The Bnei Yisachar says that what's this word shalem? It represents three things. It's a Rosh Tevos. Shalem means Shem, his name. Lamed is Lashon, the language. And Mem is Malbush. And what it's saying is Yaakov Vivinu, he was unscathed. He was shalem, he was full. He was not scathed by the interactions that he had, either with Lavan for so many years or with Esav just now. And the reason is because he maintained who he was. He maintained his name. His name is Yaakov. He didn't change that. He didn't change his essence. He maintained his language, the Lashon, Lamed, spoke in Hebrew. And we can say even more, he didn't speak basely. He didn't take on the secular way of speaking in derogatory ways and speaking Lashon Hara and curse words. His Lashon was that of a Yid. And in addition, Malbus, how he dressed. He dressed properly. He dressed differently. He didn't take on lewd styles of the non-Jews. He maintained a proper Malbush despite the fact that he was fully integrated among the non-Jews. And that's the key. Says the Bnei Yisachar, Shlemus of a Jew depends on these things, that we have to maintain who we are, and in particular in these three areas, our names have to be different. We have to maintain a difference who we are. Just because we're named differently from everyone, we don't change our names. We don't change our names to be named Christopher and Peter and Paul. We still have to be named Yaakov and Shmuel and Shmuley, etc. That's our names. We stick with that. And our Lashon, how we speak, speaking Hebrew, but in the broader sense, speaking like a Yid, not speaking in negative terms, not speaking Lashon Hara, not cursing ever. And in addition, our Malbush, even though it makes us stick out a little bit, but we should, in fact, strive to dress differently from the people we are among. It doesn't have to be dramatic, but we should have differences so we are viewed as different. And if we can maintain that shlemus in those three areas, that goes a far way in enabling us to thwart the negative influence that we would feel and could feel and would feel when living in a secular society. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.